Sci-Fi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
We're here on the Midnight Kids Studio stage on ShrobHomeVideo.com. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. You get two bonus episodes a week. What's the premise of the show, Willie? What is it?
We do sci-fi conspiracies. One believer, me, I believe in the possibility of most conspiracies and paranormal. One skeptic, Wade, and then one guest.
Let's bring aboard our guest to the SSRLSF. It's our friend, producer, and producer and creator of the podcast Masters of the Movieverse. It's Andre Glover. I'm sorry.
No worries, man. It's people always get the name confused. They think we're talking about He-Man.
Well, so what you just talk about every movie?
Yeah, like we do like movie reviews, trailer breakdowns, like, you know, what director is signed on for the new Aquaman movie, all that kind of stuff.
James Cameron, right?
Oh,
from I've been watching Entourage. I was watching it last night. And this dude, that's so funny. Like they go to I'm sorry. I love Entourage. I hate it. I hate love it. They go to Sundance and they make a deal with the Harvey Weinstein analog.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you're going to be in my next three pictures. And then they're like, no, we're going to wait because we heard James Cameron was coming to see our shitty Queens Boulevard movie, which is 4 hours long.
Yeah.
And then...
I say, every trailer they showed for the fake Queens Boulevard, it didn't make me want to see the movie.
No, not at all. It looks so bad. It looks so bad. And then they're like, oh, no, James Cameron took off after 10 minutes, and they're all bummed and stuff because Harvey hates him now. Mm-hmm. And then this is the way every episode of that show ends. They're like, no, fuck it, man. Let's just, like, get on a boat and drink. And then they get a call, and they're like, James Cameron loves you, dude. You're in. You're Aquaman. That's every episode of that show. I love it.
He's Aquaman in that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
And then replaced by Jake Gyllenhaal for the sequel. Fictional people. And they were like doing a riff on the fact that Tobey Maguire didn't want to come back for Spider-Man 2. He was claiming he had like back problems.
Yeah, for a second.
And they were going to hire Jake Gyllenhaal, so they were like sort of spoofing that.
So wait, but this was a weird couple years for movies because of the pandemic and everything. So like, how were you? I mean, did you do like a top 10 of 2021 or anything like that?
No, that's the thing. We were down for about the past year because of the pandemic. And I lost my co-host. Shout out to Alex. But, you know, she moved away.
Oh, God. I thought she died.
No. Oh, God.
I was like, oh, shit. Yeah.
That was very misleading. Sorry about that.
Well, I'm glad that Alex is alive and safe.
She's alive and safe, but I'm looking for a new co-host, and we're hoping to relaunch by the springtime.
So. All right, great. No. Well, good luck, man. You have a different podcast, too, right?
Yeah, no, just the Masters of the Movieverse.
Oh, well, I was misinformed by my producer, Willie. how into conspiracy theories are you?
I'm one of those dudes that I think I'm a split down the middle between the two of you because I want to believe, you know, I don't believe necessarily in the fake moon landing and like lizard people and stuff.
Right.
But I'm like, if someone gives me a compelling enough argument, I'm like, all right, well, certainly worth thinking about.
Okay, well, this is the show for you then.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little 5-question quiz to sort of gauge where you are on the spectrum between Wade and Willie.
Okay.
It's called the WOW scale. It stands for Wade or Willie. Don't worry about your number score. I'll give it to you. You can just answer the questions.
Okay.
But at the end, if you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be Wade on the WOW scale?
Let's do the thing.
All right.
WOW scale.
I forgot that we had this.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
It feels like I should be describing it over that, but whatever. Okay, first question is a 3-parter.
Okay.
I'll answer all 3 questions, or I'll ask all 3 questions, and then you can give your answer. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, I believe in aliens. No and no. I don't believe they visited Earth, and clearly in the 300 years. Because I think the universe is like, you know, trying to find a grain of sand in the desert. It's like, good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Very fair, very generic answer.
Sure, sure.
Ghosts.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have a ghost story?
I don't have a ghost story. But that's the thing. It's like, again, that's why I said earlier, I feel like I'm slipping between you two, because I do believe, but I haven't heard any compelling enough information or evidence that ghosts actually exist. But I kind of believe, like, in the scientific transfer of energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And they say that there's sort of like a missing component of the human body that can't be accounted for. So whatever,
like 7 ounces or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. So I believe that's however you want to quantify it. It's transferred. So whatever that 7% is, if it's a ghost, if it's like transfers onto like some sort of collective energy, gas or fog, I don't know, but I do believe that there's something otherworldly.
So you believe it coming from a more scientific, not from a like a religious point of view or anything?
Oh, heavens no. Okay. No. Not to offend anybody, but not down with the Jesus, okay, per se.
All right. Where are you from?
Philly originally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you an Eagles guy?
Not really.
Oh.
Yeah. Again, like movies. Like that's my bread and butter.
You're a nerd.
Yeah, I'm a nerd.
Got
yeah,
it.
Absolutely.
Movies about football.
Well,
No, you gotta watch the American Underdog Story. You have to. It's so bad.
And I would say Gridiron Gang and Any Given Sunday. Those are two pretty good ones.
Any Given Sunday. I hate Oliver Stone, man. Do you like Oliver Stone?
Not now. I like JFK Oliver Stone, but okay, he's a little crazy now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Question number three. Bigfoot. He's right here, so mm-hmm, watch out.
Right.
Aaron,
yeah.
Thanks for updating our Bigfoot. Aaron Sevon looks great.
Yeah. He does. He's all furred up.
He's just cardboard before.
He's got the Hershey Kiss nipples going on. Yep. Fully erect.
Looking good.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Are you down with Bigfoot?
Oh, no. Nah, I can't get on board with that.
Oh, shit.
I just, nah. Like, if Bigfoot existed, we would have found him by now. Even if it's just like a Harry and the Henderson skull, we would have found something that it's like, yeah, there's a giant 10-foot ape man that lives in the mountains. No.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Psychics.
No. No, I had to pause and think on that one because I've gotten a psychic reading done before and she said some things that were accurate, but after years of watching shows like Psych and Investigation Discovery, uh-huh, shout out to ID Murder Channel, it's a profiler. I think it's somebody,
yeah,
who's really good at reading cues,
right,
and micro expressions, and you know, they can tell, you know, that your father didn't love you when you were growing up.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
Well, the odds of that are pretty high.
Yeah, especially from that generation.
All right, last question. Are you superstitious?
Yeah, I would say yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
Not highly, but I do believe that, you know, if you put things out in the universe, it's like, what are the chances I'll crash my car into a pillar driving home tonight? It's like, ah, geez, I'm probably going to crash my car into a pillar. Yeah.
Well, listen, I hate to break it to you. You think you're between us, but you are a straight up zero, my friend.
Really?
You're 100% Wade.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. All right.
So congratulations.
Right. Yeah, I'll take the win, I guess.
Now let's gang up on Willie.
Isn't that crazy? But tonight's topic is super crazy in a fun way.
Okay.
All right, well, let's get to it. Hey, Willie, hit us with that topic. Oh, shit. Wait, don't play it yet. He's getting his notes.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, the secret space program. Specifically, this guy that worked for the CIA, Michael, am I saying his name right? Giacco. Crap. He's got a crazy story to tell about him going into space, fighting aliens, and is there any truth to this? Let's get over his story and talk about it tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Okay, so, I should mention, we are going to have a call-in number pop-up in a little bit, so get your questions ready for the CIA guy who's fighting aliens in space. That sounds great.
Right? So so here's the thing. I'll just do a quick overview, and then we can talk about it so we don't have to keep going back to this. There's this
guy. He's a whistleblower. He worked for the he was a SEAL team member for 24 years, and he had 35 years extensive combat. He was 11 years working for CIA as a security officer, and he's coming out as a whistleblower, claiming these things. He was taken to space camp as a kid, about 3 to 4 years old, and then he stopped going. And he had a mind regression with Barbara Lamb. And from that, he now remembers this other life that he's been living this whole time where, well, he wrote this book called, man, my notes suck. It's an I word. The something warrior. Anyways, people started coming up to him and were going like, "Hey, man, do you remember that you're a super soldier? Like, do you know you're a part of this program?" And so he had his mind regression going on, and so now he's telling this story where, you know, as a kid they taught him how to levitate things, levitate himself, how to dematerialize and go through matter. And
if you will.
Yeah. Okay. And that they would, from a very early age, it was all training to drop fear, and they would get shot out to the moon within minutes, and they would train out there. There were other alien races out there. Let's see. He was explaining different levels of suits and armor and weapon suits that he'd have. And he was talking about how, with his super soldier outfit on, he remember even having half of his brain shot off and he was dead. And he was trained to know that, well, when you die, just wait, they'll build you back together. That nanotechnology and all this stuff, like, put his body back together. And then he went back into his body and, yes, there is a base on the moon, different races there. But he was saying that he has a completely different reality that he remembers concurrently with the reality that he's lived. And so basically the idea is he'd be gone. So he's working for the CIA. He'd come into work one day and people would be like, "Where you been?" He's like, "What are you talking about? I've been here the whole time." So there was this mind erasing that was going on. So he's a super soldier, gets his mind wiped, comes back to work. He's working for the CIA, so no one's going to ask questions beyond where you been. Because they're all, and SEAL Team 6. So he has, here's a credible guy.
Well.
who has an incredible story.
Thank you. Well, okay, but here's the thing. When it comes to, like, this, like, not past life, but, like, buried, what is the
mind
memory?
Mind regression.
What is it? Mind?
Yeah.
Mind regression? Like, this is, like, isn't this something, it's dangerous, right? Like, people will do therapy and they'll get hypnotized, but if the therapist or the hypnotizer says, like, the wrong leading thing, it will implant, like, false memories into their
head. There's a lot of court cases that were thrown out, like, back in the 80s because people were wrongly convicted. They were like, "This person touched you when you were young."
It was always like a molestation thing or something, and they would just, like, put those memories in their head and then they would testify. So
just from me saying this, what are you guys' initial thoughts of what this whole story?
Well, that's my initial thought, is that somebody, like, put some weird, if he's not full of shit, somebody put some weird stuff in his head. That's my thought.
I have a couple follow-up questions. Has this man been vetted as far as, like, do we know his full name? Do we know what he looks like? Because, you know, there's a lot of Facebook stories like, "I heard from a guy who heard from a guy." Do we know who this guy actually is?
Yeah, this guy, his big interview came, well, he's got this book. Is it The Intrinsic Warrior? I can't read my notes. He came out with this book. He's on this this documentary series on Gaia TV, Cosmic Disclosure. And a few of these people are involved in the same program. Where they're trying to whistleblow the secret space program.
Okay.
And so it is a documentary series, more of an interview series. Oh, will you hold your mic up? Sorry.
Oh, and it's a secret space program funded by the U.S. government. Is that what he say?
Yeah. Well,
or is a joint operation with this alien civilization?
It's kind of a little bit of both.
Okay.
I mean, so here's my crazy parallel of what's going on today, okay. Right? Here we have these UFOs that they have been putting out on you know, credible newspaper sites and what and posts, and they're like, hey, look at this. These are UFOs witnessed by these credible Navy people. And then they're like, hey, we find out the Pentagon's spending billions of dollars researching UFOs, UAPs now. And so they've been spending black project money for years. And now they're approving programs to actually research it in the public's eye, you know?
Yeah.
But the crazy thing is, well, you guys have already researched it. So now all that money is just going to more black project money stuff. You know, it's like, well, there's more money allocated to them, but they already did the research. So now they're doing a public research.
Mm.
So just saying that, like, in my eyes, I definitely think there is some mind stuff going on with him, whether, like, you could say Manchurian Candidate, you could say mind erasing stuff, whatever. I feel like he's definitely, his mind has been messed with. And is there any credibility to any of this? I'm like, from listening to these guys talk, there's a few other guys too that are coming forward. And I'm like, this is just crazy because they are, yeah, they're CIA guys, SEAL Team 6 guys. They're in the secret know. And everything's so compartmentalized. Like, how far would a story go? Because people in the program don't even know the story.
Yeah, like that was sort of one of my other follow-up questions. If he is this in the know and this black ops, I would have to imagine that before he could whistleblow on this and write a whole book, that, you know, some nefarious means would have come his way. He would have been taken out Marilyn Monroe style in a hotel room with a bottle of pills, and we never would have known the difference.
Right.
He's sharing a lot of, he's spilling a lot of tea, I'll say.
Hang on. Marilyn Monroe was assassinated?
Oh, that's a whole nother episode.
It is.
We've never talked about that.
Well, really?
The story that I'm with is that JFK leaked some of the UFO stuff to her,
and then they killed her.
Yeah,
with pills?
Because she was going to come out after they killed him.
Yeah, I should say allegedly.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the inside baseball says that I don't know about the alien stuff per se, but that she knew
hat on a hat.
Hat on a hat. Yeah, we added a theory to a theory. But yeah, that she knew a lot of sort of classified information because JFK loose lips sinks ships, and that the CIA basically killed her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so my whole thing with this is he's talking about phase shifting and like what that was when he was a kid.
The program started when he was 3 to 4. They were teaching them how to strengthen their minds because a lot of the aliens they were going to fight have telepathic powers to where they could just put you into crippling fear and you could just drop there or turn on your partner. So they had to build up their mind to have the strength to fight telepathic aliens.
Then what are these? Does he go into a description of these space battles that he was in?
Well, it's weird because in his interview, he does, and there's a couple other guys that have big interviews that were in this. I forgot the other guy's name, but it's all in the same Cosmic Disclosure series. But they talk about how the first thing that they used to just fight a lot of these aliens, and these other aliens have been around for millions of years longer than us. So a lot of their crafts don't even have weapons because their minds are so powerful. So eventually we learned to they'd have to go to Venus first because, yes, there's humanoids on Venus, and they would teach them the love vibration because when you encounter other species, if you have that vibration out there, it calms them down enough to meet with them. So I guess the moon is like filled with like different countries of aliens. It's a base that was escaped.
Our moon or the moon of Venus?
Our moon.
Okay. All right. Did he describe what said aliens look like? Because I think you can tell a lot about a alien encounter story by if you get the standard 4 foot tall, big head, black eye, gray creature. Did he describe them?
I'm getting these two guys mixed up. This guy did not. The other guy described the aliens as, he may have done a couple of these, but like the Dracos was like this reptilian race, but they were like 8 feet tall and like looked like they were made out of rocks.
Mm.
And then he was saying that the little grays, this guy definitely said this, the little grays are basically like cloned slaves, and they work for the tall grays, and the tall grays were the ones kind of running a lot of the stuff, at least on in their section on the moon.
Okay.
But
hang on.
Yeah, no, I don't want to go into too many.
Well, how does it not lose you once you? Okay, yeah, maybe he was like a secret government soldier, but then also he was fighting aliens, and then also he went to Venus, and then also our moon is filled with aliens.
That is a base. Yeah, I know. So
this is a lot.
I know.
So he loses me like the second that he's like, oh yeah, we've been to Venus and there's people there, and like that. Like maybe he could get tricked. And what's that? It's a movie or a short or something where they're like playing a video game. Maybe it might be Black Mirror, but they're like playing a video game. And then they realize that they're actually controlling like a drone that's just killing all.
Oh, Ender's War?
Oh, yeah, Ender's Game.
No. Well, I guess they do that there too, but they know what they're doing. In this one, they just think they're playing a video game, and then
they're really killing people.
That sounds like a Black Mirror.
It might be a Black Mirror.
Yeah, but it also sounds like the plot of Moonfall, the Roland Emmerich movie that just came out, where there's aliens. An alien space station in the center of the moon, and they have to take out the space station in order to save the moon and save the Earth.
Yeah, and so he talks about this where it's like he's like, it feels like his other memories are in a different existence, and so it makes me say this: what if? Because there's definitely mind stuff going on here, and so
yeah,
I mean,
he's insane.
One of the
his
crazy
mind is fucked up.
One of the crazy ideas I have from this is like, what if there is this non-physical reality that you know, like a simulation, like it is just as real as this existence. But what if they cloned his consciousness, and so the memories he's getting are actually from his, like the movie Avatar, where a lot of his stuff he described was kind of like that, where it's just like his consciousness was in this body that they made and could recreate. And the suit was great and whatnot. And anytime he died, they'd put him back together with nanotechnology inside of him.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, just, okay, see, now you're bringing me back around. Like I said at the top, if someone can tell me a compelling piece of factoid, then, you know, I can come back around. Because I do personally believe in string theory and alternate dimensions, pocket dimensions, things like that. So, you know, if these things do exist, then maybe someone, the government, some sort of think tank, found a way to reach these other yourselves and other states of existence. But again, then he loses me with the sort of, you know, Matrix rebuilding your brain sort of whole thing. So like, he had me and then he lost me again. But I think there's something to your consciousness leaving your body.
Well, but that brings me to my question too. Like, what? So was he an avatar or was it his body that they're rebuilding? Was he controlling like some kind of drone?
The way that he described it made me think it was an avatar without him saying it. And so because it was kind of, it was from the mind regression, you know? So it's like, yeah, he remembers this stuff very vividly. And, you know, being in the SEAL team, he remembered like having instances where his knee was blown up and stuff. And so he was comparing the feelings of having his body ripped apart and his brain getting ripped apart.
Because if it was an avatar, they could just like X-ray him or something, right? And be like, oh, you're like 90% metal.
Or if it was an avatar, why did they have to rebuild his damaged body? Why couldn't they just put him in another avatar?
Yeah. If it truly was like a soul clone, it's like, well, just get the next suit.
Right. Yeah.
And so one idea that I have in roaming around in my head from this is like, well, what if the whole thing is just a mental toughness thing, and the whole situation's actually created like a simulation, just to test the limits of what you think you can believe in.
Now, that'd be awesome. Right? I could definitely see the government doing that, like put you in some sort of Matrix virtual reality world in which he
maybe this guy isn't batshit. Maybe he thinks all this stuff actually happened, but it was because of some implanted simulation that he's experienced like hundreds of times. So I could see that happening.
Right. And the whole thing is a mind experiment, maybe even two, to see how much you're going to whistleblow, how well the mind eraser stuff works. You know, what if they were just testing that?
Like, well, okay, maybe. But here's, if I'm this guy, why wouldn't I just write a screenplay? Like, why go to the press and be like, oh, hey, all this stuff happened to me? Why wouldn't you just write a screenplay and be like, yeah, this is my story?
Well, I guess he wrote a book, right? That's the next best thing.
It's weird because The book was before he had the mind regression. So the book is, without knowing anything, this is just me guessing, I think the book is about mental toughness.
Our phone is open if you guys want to call in and weigh in on this. It's weird. I just don't. There's so many different options of what it could be.
Our phone number is 818-666-2574. I think it's posted somewhere on our. I think it's on the thing. But that's the thing that gets me is that like when I listen to this guy talk and I hear the other people that are saying things that like all resonate with each other. They're all in this thing where they talk about the nature of reality is just different than they can explain. And they're talking about, you know, things that I'm into, vibrational power and like string theory that everything vibrates in such a way that like that's how you do anything. You want to walk through this, you phase shift, you just have to attune to that vibrational signal, whatever.
Yeah. Like as far as this story specifically, I personally am not sold on the details, but I do like sort of your possible theory that maybe this was just some sort of advanced government AI or sort of simulation. And he is convinced that all this stuff happened, but I don't actually think it happened.
Yeah, because the biggest question now is like, okay, you've had all these experiences. Can you do any of the things that you claim? Can you levitate? Can you walk through a wall?
Well, yeah, that was my question. Like, he said he could do all that stuff, but was that only because he had a special suit on? Or
that was them, the way he said it, they were trained to do that. And so when they were there, they could all do that.
But he just forgot? Oh, we got some calls.
Oh, sweet.
Let me get my glasses on here. This is...
Yeah, let's take it. What do we got?
Who is it?
It doesn't say.
It doesn't say. All right. Hello?
Hey. Hi.
How's it going?
I had a question for Willie.
Okay.
He's got a lot of different theories about what the moon could be. Do you think that we're mining it, or is it an extraterrestrial base? Because I don't think it could be both.
Yeah. I've gone back and forth. I think that the official... materials that we have of the moon doesn't make sense for the theory currently that the moon ran into the Earth because there isn't a lot of materials from Earth on the moon. I think it was I tend to lean towards it's an old moon base that was brought here, and I think that all this mining stuff that they're talking about, you know, here comes this asteroid that's filled with diamonds, everyone would be rich if we could mine it. And then that leads to us then passing this law that anybody can mine anything in space. I think that there was they knew what they wanted to mine from that. So I go back and forth. I'm like, maybe it's because they're racing to mine the moon right now. So if it's a base, there's nothing.
That makes a lot of sense to me. What does Wade and the guests have to say?
Andre, what do you think?
Personally, I think the moon is just a giant rock. And it lives in our orbit. That's my hot take on the moon.
Yeah, man. I'm going to be boring in the same way. Like, I don't think it's a base, and I also don't think we're mining it. I think it's just a bunch of gravel.
I do lean
towards... Hey, me too.
Oh, all right.
Good work, guys.
All
right. Keep up the good work. Have a good night.
Hey, bye.
See you, man.
Next, we got Luke.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's aliens on the moon, in the moon.
You do? Yeah. Like, whole hog.
Like, see, that was his question. He's like, you cannot possibly believe all these things because they're conflicting with one another.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, I don't think that I could actually know the truth either.
Well,
so,
of course you can't. You can't know the truth, but you got to pick one, don't you?
But whether we're mining it or it's a base, there's aliens there.
Okay.
You know, because they could be mining or they could just have a base there.
Yeah, go ahead. Put Luke on. Hey, Luke.
Hey, guys. How's it going over there?
Good.
What's
good?
So funny?
Man, I mean, I kind of had a question, but the conversation on hold was just so good that I'm like, I'm immersed in this topic now.
Oh, we go everywhere.
We can bounce around. Whatever you want.
When I called it, nature of reality and, like, could everything be connected and how connected could it be? I don't know where I fall on the wow scale, but I'm starting to think that, you know, I'm not superstitious, but I think things are connected a little bit, and wondering how you guys and your guests feel about all that. Like, do you believe, okay, if I have to ask a specific question, it would be, do you believe in the law of attractions? Like, if your will is good, if your intent is good, and if you move forward toward your goals in those ways, do you attract people that do likewise?
Okay. So it's kind of like the power of positive thinking sort of thing. Is that what you're, like you can manifest goodness in your life? Is that what you mean?
Well, in a sense, but, like, more deeply, like, we all resonate at certain frequencies and whatnot. We're made of, you know, electrons and vibrating things. If we tune ourselves like instruments, can we, like, tune into, you know, advancing our goals through manifestation, I guess? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You guys get it?
Yeah, I absolutely believe in that. My friends love to bust my balls sometimes. Like, Dre, believe in magic, because I do believe that if you put negative energy into the world, just this simple experiment that I'm sure all of us have gone through at one time, where it's like you're having like the worst morning ever. You're late for work. You didn't get to take a shower. You know, you spilled coffee on yourself. And if you go through your whole day like that, then inevitably you might get into a fight with a coworker, or you might get into like some sort of altercation with some guy at lunchtime. Whereas, you know, it's not easy. But if you can sort of change your energy frequency and, you know, the sort of energy you're putting out there, then that can absolutely turn your day around. Like, I've seen in my life positive with the positive effects of it. Like, I went through a few year period where I was like in a really dark spot, you know, nothing was going right. Mm-hmm. And I was just constantly beating myself up. But I know it sounds very hippy dippy and, you know, the universe, man, but I've lived it where I changed my way of thinking. I definitely, as you put it, changed my energy frequency, and I started attracting all these great things into my life. So I'm right with you, man. I absolutely believe in that.
I believe in that too. I have the exact same story. I was negative for years and it was like, this is fucking stupid. Like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. So I became a more positive person. I guess I'm happier, but
I guess.
Like, I definitely feel better, because, like, you know, hating on shit is boring, right?
Yeah, it gets old after a while.
Yeah,
I'm gonna take it. And when you do hate, it's easy to pile up that hate, and everybody jumps. You know, it's easy to get everybody down with you.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna take it a step further and say that I personally think that there are things out there that kind of mess with our mind in such a way to make it harder for us to manifest the things that we do believe in.
Mm.
You can
gatekeepers.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And not to say that everything is just piled on by these people controlling everything, but I will say, whether on purpose or on accident or people taking advantage of situations, like, I believe highly that the frequency of music that was changed to a certain frequency that doesn't resonate as well with us. Like I love
12 notes instead of 13.
Yeah, yeah. And also, but the specific frequency that they release music in was changed.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Like, the way it's compressed and engineered and everything plays into making you feel ugh.
Yeah, and I forget, you know, I can't remember 10 minutes ago, but like I think it's 440 or whatever, that like there's a certain frequency.
Yeah, 440, 441.
If you listen to the music at it, it actually
Luke is into this shit.
Yeah, right?
Oh, man, I was a sound tech before I did all this other stuff. I was a DJ, a musician. I've been on stage in bands on tour. So, you know, I've been into the more, I guess you could say, like, esoteric or psychedelic side of life.
And take that, the universe's vibrational energy. What happens if the music you listen to, I'm not going to say it's on purpose, actually kind of vibrates you into a state of not flowing. And so just by hearing things all day that vibrationally send you into the wrong, keep you from flowing in your natural state of attractive.
Well, social media, it's not even like a conspiracy theory. It's been proving that social media and the algorithms that we live with are designed to create negative emotions because they want to keep you addicted to certain things like cigarettes, alcohol, streaming, scrolling. So it's like, it's no secret that, what you're saying, Willie, is absolutely on the money, where it's like these, again, that's why I thought I was more in between the two of you, but apparently not, because I'm like, there's an Illuminati, man. They're out there. I do believe.
Yeah,
I do believe the powers that be, the 1%, the billionaires, the secret cabal of weirdos in black robes are out there, and they have nefarious intentions to keep the general populace in the worst possible mood they can without breaking them. Because like if they get rid of all hope, then society just becomes like a giant sobbing mess. But they want to keep you just miserable enough to keep chasing the dragon, so to speak.
You sound like the architect. Doesn't he say all that?
Oh, yeah. Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
All right, Luke, thanks for the question. We're going to move on to Roger.
Yeah, no problem.
Cheers.
Thanks for calling.
Later, man.
Bye.
Roger, the difference between superhero movies
and the actual reality of space and time.
Roger, what's up?
Hey, this question is for Andre.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Andre, how do comic book movies play a role in the science community?
Like, what do you mean? Like, as far as inspiration or... Yeah,
does it help or hurt the...
The scientific community?
Yes.
Oh, I think it's absolutely a big help. There have been so many scientists like Carl Sagan or Neil deGrasse Tyson that said that they were inspired by watching things like Lost in Space or Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek when they were growing up. And even though these things didn't exist at the time, it made them curious. And I think most science starts with that nugget of curiosity. So when you have somebody who's brilliant, like an Elon Musk, and, you know, he grows up watching Star Wars and he's like, wouldn't it be cool if we could live on another planet? We can't now, but I'm going to dedicate my life to building spaceships, becoming a billionaire, so that one day I can build an Elysium-style space station. So, yeah, I think that film is nothing but an asset to the scientific community.
I think they
recently
made a warp.
Right, and do you think, like, the idea of the multiverse theory and all that, does that come before or after it's discussed in the actual scientific community, and then it becomes part of the storyline of the actual writing process of these movies?
I think you would have to take it case by case, scientific study by scientific study, movie by movie, because there is a lot of chicken or the egg going on. There are certain things, like string theory was already a theory before they started to, write it in to a lot of the popular films that we watch today, a lot of the Marvel films, with Multiverse of Madness coming up and everything that went on in Avengers Endgame. So that existed long before. But I do think there are other things, like, again, going back to Star Trek, like teleporters or... you know, they had the communicators, like, right. that was nonsense in the 60s. Like, there's something that looks like a square that I can talk to people across the world. And now it's not nonsense anymore. So I think case by case, it's a chicken or the egg situation.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, course, thanks for
Roger,
calling.
Thanks for calling, Roger.
But here's the thing with the multiverse. Like, don't you think that Marvel sort of like backwards engineered that stuff, because like the only reason, as far as I know, that the multiverse exists in comic books is because they had different storylines happening all at once.
Oh, absolutely. Like, or they brought other companies, and they're like, well, now we got Shazam. What do we do with him?
And so they're just like, well, but I'm doing Wolverine like this. And someone else is like, no, but my Wolverine's over here doing this. And they're like, multiverse. Maybe later we'll tie them all in together and it'll blow people's minds.
Well, isn't that the best way, though? Because I hear a lot of people online complaining that it's like, we've got like 20 different Batmans. I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, now you honestly, just you pick your favorite one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what does it matter?
At this point, what does it matter? I'm sorry, Willie, but like, honestly, in the beginning, I was like, what? We have to watch a new Spider-Man like every 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm just like, whatever. I don't have to. Like,
exactly.
I don't care if Andrew Garfield is Spider-Man. I just won't watch that one.
Yeah.
And then I watched the newest Spider-Man. I was like, Andrew Garfield's awesome. Dude.
He's
like,
awesome.
I should go watch those movies.
Well, no, those movies are terrible.
Oh,
like,
they are.
He got like some sort of like rejuvenation serum
so
for this
good
new one. Because
that new one, man. Holy shit.
I thought he was the best of the three.
Me too.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get back to sort of like,
well,
keep the calls coming if you got questions. But
so one thing that he mentioned, because it's like this is an interview series, and so they'd go more in depth later. But the ones that I watch, but he like brushed over talking about the Time Wars, I'm like what, and
that old chestnut, the Time Wars,
and but some of the ideas I have are, I like the idea of a cloned consciousness, because if you're that's what we're doing right now. We're trying to connect to computers. And if we're trying to do that now, they had to been trying to do this 50 years ago.
That was the part that really got my ears perked up. Like, again, I'm not saying it did or didn't happen, but I'm obsessed with things like, transferring your mind into like a host body or, you know, defeating immortality, things like that. Totally.
Oh, and he mentioned this. He was like, yeah, you know, we had to learn how to fly these planes because they had their own consciousness, and they called it, I can't find my notes, but I think it was consciousness assisted technology.
Oh, I love that.
And he was like, as a consciousness, you can choose to inhabit a human, an animal, also technological things. And so he was like, this plane had a consciousness, and it could fly itself.
See, that's fucked up. That's fucked up, because that means that at some point that was a human, and then they like put him into a plane. That's what's scary about all of this stuff is, like, if you're like, I want to live forever, go ahead, put my consciousness into a robot or whatever. But then that means you're dead. You're dead, and now you're this other thing. And so, like, how much of it is you? And are they recreating you? And, like, you remember how, like, you can't remember anything without rewriting your memory of it?
Yeah.
So every time you remember something, you change something, and then that becomes the new memory.
Yes.
So, like, if that's, like, consciousness, where every time they're recreating your consciousness into something else, and there's, like, weird little things, like, maybe you can phase shift or fucking fight aliens. Like, it gets muddy, right? And you believe that you did that stuff. Like, and by the end of it, if you're putting your consciousness into 2, 3, 4, whatever, you're a plane now, shit. You would have no idea who you actually were in the beginning, right? Like,
right. But I think a good question to piggyback off of that is, would you care? As far as, like, yeah, you would technically be dead, but like, let's say you had a clone. The clone thinks it's you, whether it's not,
but
it thinks it is.
But that's a good, like, you know how in sci-fi movies there's always a clone, and then when they figure out the clone, they're like devastated or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like, Why?
Yeah, you're
like
a new person.
They just still be. Yeah, they would be like, okay, well, whatever.
Let me throw this in here real quick before we get to our next caller. One thing.
Do we have one?
Yeah,
oh, we do.
One thing that got me going crazy about this, thinking of a clone consciousness, is him talking about all of his memories and all the experiences that he had. I'm like, dude, whether this is a clone consciousness or your own consciousness, you are a brainwashed soldier at this point. You're not talking to aliens. You're fighting them. You're doing whatever you say. You're part of a company.
Great point.
And it's like, so whatever his experience is, he's brainwashed in such a way that he does everything they say, and then he doesn't even remember that existence, and he comes back to life, and he's like, hey, yeah, I have this regular job. He gets mind regressed, remembers all this shit, and it's just like, if your consciousness is brainwashed on that side, it's got to be on this side, too. Like you know, just like...
No, and like in a real world sort of context of that, it is like a real life CIA experiments of a Manchurian Candidate or Jason Bourne, where it's like... Yeah, well, now we're getting like existential with it, but it's like what is life? Because if, like you said, if only half of your life remembers that you're this crazy secret super soldier and the other half thinks you're some dad from Wisconsin, then it's like, yeah, like what does it mean to be alive? What does it mean to be you?
you don't know about this missing time? It doesn't even register? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and also, like, what's the difference anyway? You know, like, if you're just as fine as killing aliens as you are being a husband in Wisconsin,
yeah,
then what's the difference?
What a successful, you know, program.
I guess it would be technically be a successful program.
All right, let's take the next call. Stephanie. Hang on, Stephanie. All right, Stephanie, what's up?
Hello there. I was going to ask initially about Mars and when you think we might be getting there. But since you're talking about cloning now, I was actually wondering if you could speak to if you think that the world of Gattaca is going to come about anytime soon. Like, do you foresee that in the near future, just society arranged based on genetic superiority?
Are you talking I'm getting mixed up. Gattaca's a movie. It's not the precursor to Battlestar.
Yeah, Gattaca the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, where, like, it's, you know, what the, is the it? Tag Ian, was there's Ian, no gene for the human spirit.
Ewan McGregor
and Uma Thurman.
And yeah, it's society has progressed to a point where you can gene alter your babies to make them more successful, and if you're not gene altered, you have a harder time in life,
and the government has to approve who gets to conceive and who doesn't.
It's like I think it's an analogy for class warfare, honestly, but like,
yeah, definitely.
But they do have a lot of, don't they offer gene choices to babies now?
CRISPR, yeah, you can change the color of your baby's eyes. And
are you serious?
Like, that's little things. Thing. Yeah,
you can do that.
You can do that. No,
that's okay.
You have to do it early.
I mean, I guess if you have enough money, anything is okay.
Shit. I mean, if that's the case, then yes, 100%.
Here they are. Oh, check this out. Along the lines of this, I know they're talking genes, and you know, we got the 23andMe. I'm on that, and I don't want to be, even though I am. I went to a bar the other night to use the bathroom in Hollywood, and they're like, okay, you know, here's my card, here's my vaccination card, and they're like, oh, well, you're looking at this thing, and I'm like, what is this? And they're like, this camera is going to take a picture of your face and attach it to your ID. This is facial recognition software.
Yeah.
And I had to go to the bathroom, and I was like, "What? This is, you're blowing my mind. I don't want to do this, but I got to pee." So I went in, and I'm like, when it comes to the things you're talking about, I know that these are choices, and this is, you know, class war, all this stuff, but the precursor steps to that is to take in all this information so that they know. I know that the facial recognition software has nothing to do with that, but I'm just saying, like, it's on par with, like, just giving everything away.
Oh, no, I'm with you. Like, I am so conspiracy theoried out about 23andMe. I don't trust any of these DNA services. I'm like, what are they doing with our genetic material? And even if they're not doing anything with it right now, if some devious person were to get their hands on billions of people's genetic code, what, like an Elon Musk type, what could a man that smart and that rich do with billions of genetic sequences? It's kind of scary when you think about it.
And here's my suggestion of that. If you had, you can do the 23andMe, whatever. I did it. I like to read about the history of my genes. But you can request that they destroy your sample too.
Yeah, you can request it, but like, you request Facebook to delete your account. Yeah, like, yeah, they don't really. They have it on the giant hard drive
this
somewhere.
This one is this one's gone.
So to answer your question, I think Gattaca absolutely is something that will happen, but I think it'll be a slow burn. I think that people will
do it under the illusion of choice, like 23andMe, and over the next 200, 300, 400 years, people will be like, well, I'll just give my baby green eyes. Well, I'll just give him black hair. I'll just make him 6'2". And little by little, people will give away all these choices and, you know, smash cut to we live in a world where we've given away our power to whoever controls that system.
Yeah.
And now they're, you know, in charge.
To be born in our government, you got to have these choices to start off with.
Right. Yeah.
But the lesson of that movie is that the human spirit will, defeat all? Because the guy who's the main guy in Gattaca, he is not gene therapied or whatever they call it. And so he fakes it because he's smart in his own right. He does all the work. He outswims his brother. I don't know if you guys remember that. His genetically enhanced brother. And the whole point is that, like, you can be whatever you want to be. I mean, it's cheesy, but, like, believe in yourself.
Yeah, but that's also after about another 300 years after that. So it's like the Roman Empire. So, like, we'll get to this Gattaca world, and then people, because, like, history is cyclical, like, everyone, like Willie said, will be like, if you don't have these 10 genetic codes, you can't get a job at, you know, Amazon. So then it'll take, like, another 300 years before people are like, the revolution.
If we've learned anything from the COVID cards, it's like, it'll be very easy to fake whatever these records are. The government will be lazy about it, and you'll be able to fake the records very easily.
Sure, yeah.
And then you can just join the swim team or
and beat your brother,
whatever Gattaca was about. All right, thanks for the call. I think that was Stephanie. Luke is back, or no,
we had Kyle was calling back to ask about
Kyle.
Wanted
to call call back if you want.
Yeah, I don't know, I just read the note on there for
If you guys could, If you were having a baby and you could make it better, would you? Because the whole question starts I don't want any like disease or any like predisposition, like Down syndrome, obviously, stuff like that. Would you alter your baby?
I've had this exact conversation with my girlfriend many times, and that's the slippery slope, right? I think if I'm being completely honest, they were like, well, yeah, well, you know, like, yeah, make him like 6'2",
right.
6'4", like, yeah, give me a little Jack Reacher. That's fine, yeah. But I would say, yes, selfishly, I absolutely would. But morally, I'd be like bad drag, because I do think it's playing God, so to speak.
Well, it's weird, though, because we live in a society now where technology does assist us, you know, and you look at like, we're going to be looking at screens forever, you know, so can we get some eye help, you know, and eventually, you know, people are going to replace their knees on the back end, like get a stronger one on the front end. I'm it's weird because I'm on board with it, but there's also so much, without knowing anything, I would assume that there's danger to mess up other things while you're in there. It's like, oh, all we got to do is turn this on.
That is the counter argument. People are like, you might give them blue eyes, but they might, you know, come out with like, you know, some sort of, like, they might come out blind. They have blue eyes, but something went wrong. So
yeah, but also like, what if you hate your parents? And like, what if, all right, here's a scenario. You're like a very religious couple, and you're like, our kid is never going to have a tattoo, so we're going to give him this weird skin where tattoos don't work, so that he can't ever get a tattoo. And then that kid is like, oh, fuck, man, I really want a tattoo. Mm-hmm. And then he just hates you forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look at the story of, and this is the story of Cyborg, you know, where like,
oh, yeah.
He had a lot of genetic enhancements, and then eventually he almost died because of their science. And then he became half robot, half man.
What's Cyborg?
He's the DC equivalent of
okay. Yeah.
Ray Fisher, although we probably don't want to mention him. We're not trying to get on Twitter's bad side.
Well, there was some problem. He hated Who directed the Justice
League? Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
He said Joss Whedon was like abusive or something?
Everyone said Joss. I don't want to get like crazy off topic, but like that was like heartbreaking. Well,
keep it short. We got 3 minutes left.
Okay. All right. I love Joss Whedon for years. Then he came out with that interview last year and it's like, wow, you are an awful human. So I'll leave it at that.
All right. Yeah. No, I'm a writer, and so like writers like him bother me.
Yeah.
Because it's like he's got a style, and now everyone's doing that sort of style that like
we very quippy.
Yeah, very quippy. Mm-hmm. Every Marvel movie is we're all so quippy, and I blame it on Joss Whedon.
Did he? What? I my memory's crap. What did he?
He did Buffy.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. 3 minutes, Willie. You want to wrap this up?
Well, listen. I love my Gaia subscription. It's a little pricey, but if this is like real life sci-fi, I'm watching these people that believe themselves, and it goes off the deep end. If you don't, I'm not saying go subscribe. Just keep watching our show, and I'll keep you informed. But when it comes to these, like, I think that this is such a credible guy. There could be something to this, or he could just have his mind fucked. And I don't think that it's him trying to make money, because he would have made another book after coming out with all this stuff. And
right.
Whatever. It's weird, because in this realm, if you're making money, it makes you look like you're discredit or in non-credible, whatever the word is. But I'm like, dude.
Discredited?
When you work for the fucking Navy SEALs and you work for the CIA for this long, and at like, there's got to be some nuggets of truth in this mixed up story, and it's fucking mind blowing to me.
I see. I would take the other way. If you worked for those insane people for that long, your head would be totally fucked, man. Like that, those the SEALs and the CIA, they're all about like control, right? And so like, I don't know. It just seems to me like it's not something I would. You know, it's like it's brainwashing, right?
Yeah.
So they could have brainwashed him to think any of these things.
Yeah.
And though I might not actually think that a lot of the stuff on maybe the Gaia Network might be happening amongst friends and like tonight, I think makes for a great conversation.
Yeah.
It's fun to wax poetic about things that could and couldn't be happening. So, yeah, it's good conversation topics.
It all comes down to me to this thing that we touched on about like living forever and transferring your consciousness. And I feel like I would totally do that.
Yeah, I absolutely would. Too. Oh my God.
I think it would be fun.
Vampire was a hard conversation because you had to suck blood. No vampire? I'm in.
Like, what? Did you guys do an episode on vampires?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Because like that's one I can talk about for like 5 hours.
Well, we can talk about back. That on yeah. the bonus. Okay. All right. We're going to wrap it up here. Thanks for listening. Remember, we've got a Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Thanks to the Midnight Kids for having us. And thanks to Schraub Home Video.
Yeah,
for
there's a new found crap tonight. Yeah.
Okay, there's a new found crap. I don't know. You disrupted my... Well, there's still 20 seconds, sorry. So what else?
You got any plugs?
Yeah, just make sure to check out mastersofthemovieverse.com, and you can also catch our current episodes on youtube.com/mastersofthemovieverse.
Sounds good, man.
Radical.
You gotta find a new host. What's the parameters? Oh, all right. See ya. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Goodbye. Bye. I lost track of it.
'Sound Became Color's new album, Abstract Terrors, is available now on anywhere you listen to music and at soundbecamecolor.com. This is released on Black Van Records. It's an abstract synthwave masterpiece that will keep you up all night. Timothy Peets is on the synths. He's a friend of the show. He's been on a few times. You know him. Michael Reed on the drums and vibraphone. Michael Diaco with effects, mixing, and production. If you like instrumental psychedelic synth rock, go listen to Sound Became Color. I cannot tell you how great this album is. Go check it out. I love what Timothy Peets and Sound Became Color has made. Let me know what you think.